All right, getting right into it, today's deep dive is going to take us into the world of prosthetic hands. But when I say prosthetic hands, forget about, like, you know, the super high-tech, like, bionic things you see in movies. We're talking, like, real-deal prosthetics.
Yeah, ditching the Hollywood fantasies and taking a look at the practical and sometimes surprisingly funny realities of what it's actually like to use a prosthetic hand every day.
And to help us with that, we've got the insights of Wolf Schweitzer. He's a forensic pathologist and a right-hand amputee.
And he also happens to be the voice behind a blog where he shares his experiences with prosthetics, and he does not hold back.
No, he does not. He tells it like it is, and he's often hilarious while he's doing it. So definitely worth checking out his blog.
Yeah, he's not afraid to challenge the kind of the accepted wisdom about prosthetics.
Yeah.
He's put everything from, like, the cutting-edge myoelectric hands to the, you know, simpler body-powered devices through their paces.
Right.
And his conclusions are really interesting.
They are. And, you know, speaking of challenging the accepted wisdom, we're going to talk about the SHAP test.
Mm-hmm.
The Southampton Hand Assessment Procedure. It sounds very official.
It does vary.
It sounds like, you know, this is how we rigorously evaluate prosthetic hands.
Right. It is a standardized assessment, but one of the things that Wolf points out is that it doesn't necessarily line up with real-world functionality.
Yeah. It's like judging a fish by its ability to climb a tree. Like, how often are you using your prosthetic hand to, like, you know, peel a banana, for instance?
Exactly. He's much more interested in how well a prosthetic can handle, you know, those everyday challenges.
Right.
The kinds of things that we often take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, like opening a jar, especially if it's one of those really stubborn lids.
Right.
Or gripping something that's slippery, you know, those moments where you really need that fine motor control.
Yeah, and you don't realize how much we rely on those, like, those micro movements until, you know, you don't have that same level of dexterity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think Wolf's insights become really valuable, because he's highlighting this disconnect between what's being tested in kind of a lab setting and what's actually needed out in the real world.
Yeah, and this is where it gets really interesting, because, you know, Wolf is a big proponent of body-powered prosthetics, things like the Becker hand, for example, oh, which, for people who aren't familiar, they use a system of cables and harnesses that are attached to other parts of the body to control the movement. And they might not look as, I don't know, as futuristic or as cool as some of the myoelectric options, but he has demonstrated time and time again that they can outperform them in these really practical tests.
Yeah, there's one video where he's lifting this, I think it was like a weight, with his body-powered arm and has no problem with it. But then when he tries to do the same thing with the iLimb, which is a very high-end myoelectric hand, it can barely even get a grip.
It's like he's saying, like, I don't need it to look cool. I need it to, you know, be able to handle my groceries. Like, I need to be able to open this, you know, pickle jar that's, like, you know,
right,
that's on too tight. So it's about that real world functionality.
Absolutely. And I think that this focus on practicality, you know, it extends beyond just the kind of the hardware of the prosthetic itself.
Yeah.
He also wants us to rethink how we evaluate these devices in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, for example, he's not a big fan of the emphasis on speed in a lot of prosthetic testing.
Oh, so, like, how fast can it zip up a jacket? That's not really his concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. But I think more broadly, he's saying that, you know, speed might be really impressive in a lab setting.
Right.
But it's not nearly as important as, like, reliability and comfort and just ease of use in everyday life. Like, you know, if you're unpacking groceries and you're in a hurry, yeah, speed might seem efficient.
Sure.
But you know what's not efficient? Dropping and breaking everything.
Yeah, haste makes waste. Right.
Exactly.
So you need that functionality. You need that practicality.
It's about finding that balance. You know, it's not just about how quickly can it do this one thing, but how well does it actually integrate into your life overall?
And this is where it gets even more interesting, because he also highlights the importance of the stump, like working with what you got in addition to the prosthetic.
Yeah, it's easy to think of a prosthetic as kind of the primary and maybe even like the only solution when it comes to limb loss. But Wolf really emphasizes that adaptation, you know, developing those skills and those techniques that utilize the stump itself is super important as well.
Yeah.
And he's constantly finding new ways to do things. Sometimes he doesn't even put on a prosthesis.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm already, my mind's a little bit blown, I got to be honest. Like, what kind of, can you give me some examples from the blog? Like, what's he talking about here?
He has a whole post about how he learned to drive a car without any modifications, just using his stump.
Wow.
Purely relying on, you know, kind of his skill and the strength that he's developed.
Yeah. I don't think most people would even think that that's possible. you know?
It's incredible.
And it just speaks to the adaptability of the human body.
Totally. And Wolf is a testament to that. But it's not just about these big feats, right? Like driving a car. It's also about the kind of the everyday nitty gritty.
Right.
He'll break down exactly how he uses, you know, his prosthetics or often just his stump for things like cooking.
Right.
Or home repair, you know, all those things.
Yeah. I love how he's not afraid to, like, he gets into the weeds.
Oh, totally. Like, he doesn't just say, oh, I use a hook to open jars.
Yeah.
He'll tell you, like, the exact grip, the angle, the amount of pressure, like, what type of gloves he's wearing, because that can actually affect it.
Oh, it's really like a masterclass in adaptation and problem solving when you read his stuff.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to call out, you know, like bad design or products that just don't work. Like, remember his whole thing about zippers?
Oh, yeah. His zipper manifesto, practically.
Right. You know, he points out how ironic it is that this SHA test that we were talking about, it places so much emphasis on, you know, how quickly can a prosthetic hand zip up a jacket?
Right.
But in reality, so much of it comes down to the zipper itself.
Yes.
Like, some zippers are a dream. They're smooth.
And some are just a nightmare.
They're like a wrestling match waiting to happen.
And he has that great line in there about how real men maintain their zippers with silicone spray.
That's what I love about his writing. You know, he can be talking about these technical topics, but he always brings this, like, this humor and this realness to it.
Yes.
Like, you feel like you're having a beer with a buddy, not reading a research paper.
Exactly.
Which makes it so much more engaging.
It does, yeah. It's not dry at all. It's great.
And I think that's part of what makes his insight so powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's not just an expert in prosthetics. He's an expert in living as an amputee.
Right.
He understands those challenges, the frustrations, but also those moments of humor and even triumph that come with adapting to living a different way.
Yeah, it's that lived experience. It comes through in every post.
Totally.
You know, he's not talking at you, he's talking with you. And, you know, it challenges you to kind of, you know, rethink your assumptions and see the world through a bit of a different lens, I think.
Yeah, he challenges us to think beyond just the technology.
Yeah.
And think about the human being at the heart of it.
Right. So it's not just about building a better hand. It's about building a better life.
Exactly.
For the people who use them.
You got it.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
And not just for people involved in prosthetics and developing new devices, but, I mean, anybody who's facing, you know, a challenge in their life.
Right.
It's that reminder that innovation can come from some really unexpected places.
Yeah.
And that true adaptability comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what tools you have. It's about how you use them.
Well.
So where does that leave us with prosthetic development? I mean, we've talked about some of the shortcomings of, you know, the current approach,
right.
The SAP test being kind of a prime example. Like, what would a truly user-centered approach look like?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And it's one that, you know, I think Wolf wrestles with throughout his writing. He doesn't claim to have all the answers.
Of course not.
But he does offer some really intriguing starting points.
Like what?
So one of the key things that he emphasizes is this need for more collaboration.
Okay.
Between researchers and users.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like common sense, right?
You'd think so.
Like, who better to advise on prosthetic design than the people who are actually wearing and using these things every single day?
Exactly. He's like, researchers need to get out of the lab and spend more time in the real world, observing how amputees are navigating their daily lives, listening to their needs, their frustrations.
Bringing those lived experiences into the design process from the get-go.
Yeah.
Not just like as an afterthought.
100%. And that includes, you know, not just the functional aspects.
Right.
But also the emotional and even the social aspects of using a prosthetic.
Right. So how does it feel to will it? How does it impact your interactions with other people?
All of that.
Yeah. Which I imagine, you know, could be awkward at times.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's about the whole person, not just the hand.
Exactly.
And he also talks about the need for like a more individualized approach to fitting these prosthetics.
Yeah.
Because one size fits all does not apply here.
Not at all.
Just like anything else.
Right. Every amputee has their own lifestyle, their own priorities, their own sense of style.
Sure.
And all of those things should be factors in choosing and customizing a prosthesis. It shouldn't just be like, what's the most expensive or what's the shiniest, newest thing?
Right. It's got to be the best fit for you.
Ignites.
Not just like, you know, the best on the market.
Yeah. And you know, that might mean choosing a simpler device, you know, maybe a more robust device for everyday use. And they're reserving those higher tech options for, you know,
right,
for specific activities. Like,
yeah,
you don't necessarily need.
Right. So it's not about like abandoning those technological advancements altogether, mm-hmm, but it's about being more thoughtful.
Yeah. Being more intentional.
How we integrate them.
It's about recognizing that technology is a tool, and like any tool, you know,
I'm a use.
It can be used well,
huh?
Or it can be used poorly.
Or it can be used in the wrong context.
Totally.
So, like, what's the big takeaway here? What's the big aha moment from this deep dive into Wolf's world?
I think the biggest thing that Wolf leaves us with is a question, a challenge, really.
Okay.
To think about as we kind of, you know, we're surrounded by technology. It's constantly advancing.
Right.
He asks, in a world obsessed with progress, are we overlooking the power of simple solutions and human adaptability?
Wow. That's quite a thought to end on. And, you know, it's not just about prosthetics. It's about everything. It's about how we measure progress, yeah, what it means to be adaptable.
It really is.
And he's given us a lot to think about.
He's not afraid to ask the tough questions.
He's not. And for that, you know, we thank him because he's starting a really important conversation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's doing it with humor and honesty, which is so refreshing.
I agree.
So that's it for today's deep dive. We will catch you next time when we hopefully unpack more thought-provoking ideas. Until then.
The stump. You mean like working with what you've got, like instead of relying only on the prosthetic?
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to think of a prosthetic as like the main solution, you know, when someone has limb loss. But Wolf really wants us to remember that adaptation, learning to use your body and like your stump specifically to do things is super important too. And mm-hmm, he's always finding new tricks, new techniques. Sometimes he doesn't even use a prosthetic. Okay, that's kind of mind-blowing, honestly. Like, give me an example. Like, what's he talking about on the blog?
So he has a whole post about how he learned to drive a car without any modifications, just using his stump.
Wow, really?
Yep, just his skill and the strength that he's built up.
I mean, most people wouldn't even think that that was possible.
It's pretty amazing.
It really speaks to how adaptable the human body is, you know?
It really does, and Wolf's a great example of that.
Yeah.
But it's not all, you know, driving a car. He also talks about just like the everyday stuff, like cooking dinner or fixing something around the house.
Right.
And he'll actually break down exactly how he does it.
Yeah, and I love that he does that. Like, he doesn't just gloss over it. Mm-hmm. He gets into the details.
Oh, yeah. He'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
Like, he won't just say, oh, I use a hook to open jars. Mm. He'll tell you, like, the exact angle, how much pressure he uses.
Oh, wow.
Even what kind of gloves he's wearing. Because that can make a difference.
Wow. That's amazing. It's like a masterclass in problem solving, you know?
Absolutely.
And adapting.
Totally. And he's also not afraid to call out, you know, like, when things are badly designed or products that just don't work. Like, remember his rant about zippers?
Oh, yeah, his zipper manifesto, practically.
Well, he makes this point. He's like, it's so ironic that this SAJ test that we were talking about,
right,
it's so focused on, like, how fast can a prosthetic hand zip up a jacket?
Right.
But, you know, in reality, a lot of it depends on the zipper itself.
Oh, for sure.
Some zippers are great. They just glide right up.
And some are, it's like you're fighting them.
You're, like, wrestling with it.
Yeah.
And he has this line in there. He's like, real men maintain their zippers with silicone spray.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that about his writing, you know? He can be talking about these technical things,
mm-hmm,
but there's always this humor, this realness.
It's very approachable.
Totally. It's like you're having a beer with your buddy. It's not like some boring research paper.
No, it's great.
And I think that's part of what makes his perspective so valuable because, you know, he's not just an expert in prosthetics.
Right, yeah.
He's an expert in living as an amputee.
Yeah.
He understands the challenges, the frustrations, but also, like, the funny moments and even, you know, the triumphs,
right,
that come with having to adapt your life.
Yeah. That lived experience really comes through.
It does.
Like, when you read his writing, you feel like he's talking to you.
Absolutely.
Not at you.
Yeah. And it really makes you think about your own assumptions.
Yeah.
And see things from a different point of view.
It does.
Like, he challenges us to think beyond the technology.
Yeah.
And think about the person using it.
Right. So it's not just about building a better hand. It's about, you know, what does that mean for someone's life?
Exactly.
You got it.
That's huge.
It is.
And that's not just for people who, you know, design prosthetics. I mean, that's a lesson for anybody who's facing some kind of challenge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It reminds us that innovation, it can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
And that real adaptability, it comes from within.
Right. It's not about what you have. It's about how you use it.
Well, so So where do we go from here? You know, we've talked about the current state of prosthetic development, some of the things that, you know, aren't working so well, like the SHA test. What would a truly user-centered approach look like?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
You know, Wolf talks about this a lot in his blog. He doesn't claim to know all the answers.
Of course not.
But I think he gives us some really interesting things to think about.
Like what?
I think one of the biggest things he talks about is, like, we need more collaboration.
Okay.
Between the people who are doing the research and the people who are actually using the prosthetics.
Which, I mean, that seems kind of obvious, right?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
Who better to give you feedback on how to design a prosthetic hand than the people who are actually wearing them every day?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, researchers need to get out of the lab.
Get out in the real world.
Spend some time actually watching how people are using these things.
Yeah.
You know, what are the challenges they're running into?
Right.
What are their frustrations?
And incorporate that into the design.
From the very beginning.
Not just like as an afterthought.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he also talks about, you know, it's not just the like the purely functional stuff.
Right.
It's also, you know, how do these things make people feel?
Right. The emotional side of it.
Yeah. Like, well, how does it impact your interactions with other people?
Right, which I imagine can be a whole other, you know, can of worms.
Totally.
Like, how does this affect your social life? So it's about the whole picture. It's not just about, you know, can this hand grip this thing? It's like, what does it mean for me as a person?
Exactly.
To be using this.
And he talks a lot about the need for, like, individualization.
Yep.
Like, you can't just have a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right, because everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
And their needs are going to be different.
Absolutely. And he talks about, you know, people have different lifestyles.
Yeah.
Different priorities.
Yeah.
You know, some people, it's just like, I need something that's really functional and durable.
Right.
Other people, you know, maybe aesthetics are more important to them.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Right.
If you got to wear it.
And so he really pushes for, like, you know, these decisions about prosthetics, they shouldn't just be like, oh, well, this is the newest, most expensive one, so that's what you're getting.
Right.
It needs to be driven by the individual's needs.
Absolutely.
And their preferences.
It's got to be the best fit for you.
Yes.
Not just the, you know, best hand on the market. In a vacuum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes that might mean, like, okay, you get, like, a really simple, robust device that you use for most things. And then maybe you have, like, a fancier, higher-tech one for certain activities.
Okay.
Like, you don't need to go all in on one or the other.
So it's not, like, abandoning technological progress. It's just being more, you know.
Thoughtful.
Yeah, intentional with how we
exactly.
Play it.
I think it comes back to that idea of, like, technology is a tool, and like any tool, you can use it well or you can use it poorly.
Right. Or in the wrong way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So if we had to sum up, like, the big takeaway here, what's the, like, the big aha moment that Wolf wants to leave us with?
I think the biggest thing he leaves us with is a question and a challenge, really. He says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's something like, in this world where we're always chasing the next big thing, are we forgetting about the power of simple solutions and just our own human ability to adapt?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not just talking about prosthetics. He's talking about everything, technology in general, our relationship with it, and, you know, what it means to be human in this increasingly technological world.
Yeah, and I think he does a really good job of, like, not pretending to have all the answers.
Of course not.
But he's starting the conversation.
He's asking the right questions.
Exactly.
And that's huge. Yeah. So yeah, Wolf Schweitzer, everybody, check out his blog. You will not be disappointed. And that's going to do it for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.